Well, dear friends, greetings today in the name of our Lord Jesus. Let's get right into it. There's a lot going on. It's one of those Sundays where there's so much going on, it's hard to know where to start. It's our annual Thank Offering Sunday, as we shared at the beginning. It's all of these gifts that are here up in front, the shoe boxes, the bags of food, the quilts that are around. These are just wonderful expressions of what God has done and the way in which he's working through us, and it's certainly a big day to remember and celebrate all of that. I don't want to downplay in any way what the significance of these. Certainly they're only going to make a small difference in just among a few families, but I also don't want to minimize what it is God's going to do with these gifts. As we offer what we have, whether it's food or quilts or shoeboxes or whatever, God takes those. He promises that those on the receiving end, he'll work in life-changing ways. It's also the second week in which we're making financial commitments for the coming year. And this week of Thanksgiving, I think we're all reminded how blessed we are in this country. Every one of us is blessed. There's no question about it. Our commitments are a response, a way of giving back to God a portion of what God has given to us. And just like with these other gifts, the things we return in the coming year will be used by God in some life-changing ways. Today is also Christ the King Sunday. It's the final Sunday in the church year. Now, we haven't been following the church year as closely these past couple of years. We did, about a year and a half ago, we started the story, and we worked our way through that. This past year, we've been doing a number of sermon series, and so we haven't been following this. But today, we come to a day when we remember and recognize what it means to have Jesus as our King. And then finally, this is the first day in our 40 days of prayer, a time when we're challenging ourselves to set aside time each day between now and the new year to ask ourselves, where is God leading? What does he want us to do? And how we might each fit in to what he has in mind for us. We're not going to deal with all of this. There's not enough time. But I do want to spend time with the last two, with the fact that Jesus is our King, and that what we have in front of us, beginning today and continuing through the new year in these 40 days of prayer, is significant. And then I want to allow some time at the end of our sermon to actually kick off that prayer time. Let's start with the 40 days of prayer. This is a bit different today, but I think it's important. In your bulletins, you have an insert that describes what we're trying to do in these 40 days. I'd ask you right now to find that, and I want to talk us through what we're being challenged in these 40 days to do. And as you're doing that, finding that insert, I want to tell you what happened this past week with one of our members. I'm not going to get into the detail of what I heard, but one of our members was talking about this 40 days of prayer that's starting today. And while she was doing it, one of her kids jumped in with a rather insightful comment. She was talking about these 40 days coming up when we're going to be praying, asking for God's guidance. And that's when her son jumped in and asked, why 40 days? Why not 365 days? I mean, why just 40? Why not 365 days? I mean, why just 40? You know, I thought when I heard that, that's wonderful. I mean, what a great question. I'm glad that's where her son's mind went. He's exactly right. This isn't an effort to set aside 40 days to pray and then to forget about prayer for the next 325. That's not it at all. Prayer is something we do year-round. Nor is it in any way, and I hope you're not hearing this, an implication that prayer isn't already happening. I know it is. I know many of you are praying every day. It's what we do as Christians. It's how we live as Christians. In fact, we can't even begin to live the Christian life if we're not spending time to pray. It's a given. It's what followers of Jesus do. But for these next 40 days, beginning today, we're challenging ourselves to pray with a more deliberate and direct focus. And that's what these 40 days are all about. Take a look at the insert for a moment and follow with me as we walk our way through. On the front side, where it says 40 days of prayer, November 23 through January 1, you'll find a general description of what we're challenging ourselves to do. you'll see three personal challenges. It says pray daily, worship, Sunday and midweek, and accountability. Prayer, worship, and accountability. Those are the three challenges. We're challenging ourselves, first of all, to pray. And not just to pray, but to pray with a specific target for our prayers. You'll see that on the bottom of that same side. We're challenging ourselves to pray for where God is leading us individually and how he wants us to grow in the coming year. We're all going to, the truth is, we're all going to be doing something in the coming year. What we want to pray about is that something that we're going to be doing. What does God want for my life? Where is God leading me in the year ahead? And how can I do what I'm doing with my life better become aligned with what he wants me to do with my life? In the same way, we're challenging ourselves with my life. In the same way, we're challenging ourselves to pray as a congregation. Where he's leading us together. And folks, let's be honest. I mean, we have a tremendous opportunity in front of us in this coming year. I mean, we really do. That's not an overstatement. We are a strong congregation. We're in the midst of a tremendous mission field in this valley. Every time I see the numbers, they go lower all the time. It's about 4% who get up and go to church on Sunday morning. The mission field is all around us. We also have a lot going on right here. This whole discipleship effort that has started a few years back and we're moving into, it's taking hold. We have a number of discipling huddles going on. We've been talking about missional communities, and they're going to happen real soon. We're even challenging ourselves because the world isn't coming here. We're challenging ourselves in new ways to go out there and start a few house churches. See if we can get some of the folks that we know at least to come to a house, hear God's word, and begin to thinking about what that means. And that doesn't even talk about what needs to happen here to help support that with our leaders, our leadership structure, and so on. We're challenging ourselves in these 40 days to pray for God's guidance, for his hand to lead us, and for the things that we're about in this coming year to actually be the things that he wants us to be about. A lot of this is new, and without God's leading, it's not going to happen. That's the first challenge, to pray. The second is to worship. Now, similar to the prayer challenge, this is nothing new. Except that our worship time, starting today, is going to include every time a time for each of us to pray on our own. Not just our corporate prayers, but individual time to talk with God. And three of the midweek services, this week's Thanksgiving, but the three that follow in December are going to be built around prayer. We're going to be having Bible readings, some singing, and some other times, but there are going to be prayer stations set up where we have a real focused time in that worship, to spend time with God. Prayer, worship, and accountability. There's a place on the top of that same side to write the name of someone who can hold you accountable. It's not something you have to do, but it will help you to stay on it. It's like anything else in life. And I know, especially you guys out there saying, I don't need anybody to tell me, I'll just do it, all right? Us guys, sometimes we need accountability. I go to the gym more often when I have a partner to go to the gym more often. We need it in our life. It's like anything else. It's one thing to say you're going to do it. It's another to actually do it. So whatever that takes, texting, emails, phone calls, get a partner, say, text me every morning. Remind me to pray. All right? That's all it takes. Accountability. Find someone who can remind you to do what you're committing to do. That's all on the front side. On the back side, there's space for you to take notes. And the idea here is to write down what you prayed for. Make note of what God is telling you, and then based upon what you hear, follow through with it. Make sure you follow through with a plan. There'll be an insert just like this each of the Sundays between now and the end of the year. And when these 40 days are over, there's also going to be a chance in a very tangible way for all of us, not just a few of us to come up front and verbally say it, but for all of us to write down what we heard and place it where we can see it. And we'll be taking all of that, listening to what God has to say, and seeing where it is he leads. The first 2 weeks in the new year, there'll be that chance. 40 days of prayer. This is a little different. Let me say one last thing before moving on, and I hope you already noticed this. But this has nothing to do with the financial commitments we're making today. Has nothing to do with that. That's a separate challenge on its own. And it has everything to do with where God's leading, how our lives might be used, and where what he wants us to do, individually and together in the coming year. I look forward to where it is God leads us in the months ahead. That's our challenge for the next 40 days. Let's change our focus for a few moments and talk about Christ as King. And then I want to come back to what these 40 days are all about and give you a few moments to pray. The passage we read today from Matthew's Gospel is one I know we've all heard before. It's a story of the judgment, of what's going to happen when everything that is going to happen has already happened. You know the story. Jesus is seated on the throne. It says all of the nations will be gathered. Everyone who's ever lived will be standing before the one who is the king. Try to picture it. Can you imagine? All of the people you've ever known will be there. All of the generations who ever lived will be there. Just think about it. Your family, they'll all be there. Your parents, your grandparents, your great-grandparents, your children, your children's children, those you haven't even been born, they're all going to be there. You'll be there, I'll be there, standing before the throne. Paul says when that day comes, every knee will bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. When that day comes, everybody's going to know the truth. And it's going to point itself to Christ. And that's when it happens. That's exactly what will happen. We read the story, like a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, so will Jesus make his judgment. And there'll be a separation that'll take place, and the Bible says it'll be final. The sheep on the right, eternally with Jesus, and the goats on the left, left forever set apart. And how will it happen? How will it happen? On what basis? On the basis, the shepherd says, of what we've done in this life for those in need. On the basis, our Lord tells us, of how we've responded in this life to him. And on the basis, Jesus says, of how our relationship with him influenced and impacted how we live. I don't know about you, but for me, this is one of the most challenging passages in all of the Bible. I mean, it gets right to the heart of what's in our hearts and how in this life we responded or not to Christ. Remember the examples? They're down to earth. I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me in need of clothing and sick and in prison. You gave me something to wear, looked after me and came to visit. My friends, this isn't an unrealistic list of things to do. It's a list of things we all can do. What would you do if you walked out of this building? That's what's being asked. And on your way home, you saw Jesus with nothing to eat. Would you give him something to eat? Or what if you walked out and there he was and he needed clothes? Would you give him some clothes? Or if he was lying there and he was sick, or found out he was in prison. I mean, you know, it's a no-brainer. We'd all respond. We all would. Why do we even ask? We ask because Jesus asks. We ask because he's out there. Not as Jesus, but as one for whom Jesus died. That's what's going on in the story. When you follow Jesus, your world changes. I mean, people who didn't matter all of a sudden matter. People whom you thought before you could ignore, you no longer can. How come? Because they're all part of his family. They're all part of your family. That's what this all means. Finally, on Judgment Day, when we're all together, would you help someone in your own family if they had a need? Would you help someone in Jesus' family if they had a need? What if it was Jesus' brother who was hungry? Would you feed him? It is. So why not? What if it was your brother? Would you let him go on without the clothes he needs? We all know what we'd do if it was. The question is, what will we do? Because it is. Sound familiar? It should. It's the Christian life. Every week we talk about it. Sound like you've heard it before? I hope so. It's what God wants to see and find in each one of us. It's the book of James, in summary. Faith and good works, how they all come together. That's the story. That's the story. That's what's going to happen. It's not a, don't misunderstand this, it's not a how to work your way into heaven passage here this morning. You know, based upon what you've done, Jesus is king. That's why we read this on the day we do. Jesus is king, and he's king because of a cross. Don't ever forget, he died for a reason. He already paid the price. This isn't about how we get into heaven, because only Jesus can get you into heaven. That's not what this is about. But he is king, and he has called us to follow. And we follow, Jesus says, by serving those in need. Now I realize that all of this gets personal. I understand it. And I realize also that there are no easy answers. I don't want you to think that I believe there are. I also realize that there is a risk in helping people. Because it's easy when you help to get burned. Maybe there's not a real need. Maybe you're becoming an enabler. Maybe what you're doing is you're just giving into some kind of a scam. Who knows what might be? The answer is, we don't. All we know, right or wrong, good or bad, all we know is that behind that person is Jesus. All we know is that in helping that person, we are helping Christ. So what do we do with all of this? On this Christ the King Sunday, where do we leave all of this when we walk out these doors today and go home? There's a lot going on here today. Shoeboxes, bags of food, turkeys out in the entryway, quilts all around the sanctuary. And it's all good. It's all in response to Christ. All of what we're saying is what Christ wants us to do. But also, it's not just this day. And you know that, not just this week. We have an opportunity individually and together in this coming year to make a difference in this valley for Jesus Christ. And not just on this weekend, when we recognize and respond to all that we've been given, but every day, every moment, all throughout the year. So let's close today in a way that is a bit different. If we want to make a difference, we need to be different. Let's do it differently today and start by spending time in prayer. I've asked our musicians to take a couple of minutes here to give us time simply to spend time praying to God.